MIT cuts its ties with Huawei, a spyware app originally meant for Android phones can now target iPhones, and Tesla's Sentry Mode is basically a cop dressed like a car. All of this and more here. Welcome to the Cutting Edge Tech. Hello everybody and welcome back to the Cutting Edge Tech episode 10. So happy that you actually joined me here today on this new edition of this podcast. And my episode 10, how time flies. I'm so happy that this has gone the way it has gone so far. Slow and steady wins the race, you know. But I'm so happy for all of those of you who have listened, who have taken the time to listen to my podcast, who have shared it with your friends and family, who have spread the word of the Cutting Edge Tech all with all your known ones, and I'm really appreciative of that. I just wanted to say that before we get into the news. Thank you so much, guys. Like, for real. You're making this dream a possibility, you know. So please continue sharing with all your family members, with all your friends. So thank you so much to everyone who has actually done that. And thank you for those who have listened to me and this podcast every week. It really means the world to me. And I hope to continue doing this for as long as possible. So without further ado, and with all those thanks out of the way, I bow down to all of you for actually helping me with this new dream and this new adventure. So to all of you, thank you. Now, without further ado, let's go to the news. So, Huawei, we're back at it again. And MIT, that's the first. So MIT recently cut its ties with Huawei and another company called ZTE. Those of you who don't know, Huawei Technologies and ZTE are Chinese technology developing companies. They develop equipment for infrastructures, they make phones, they make computers, they make laptops, etc., etc. And with the recent scandals that have been going with Huawei, I'm not surprised this was coming. Like, another university cut this ties, I think it was in Britain, according to the article, it says it was in Britain. And they cut the ties with Huawei with good reason, because they haven't been the best people in terms of data security and data privacy. Because they've alleged that their equipment actually spy on them. And the United States have taken the steps to actually ban and or limit the amount of data available to countries that use Huawei equipment. And they've taken the steps to actually get rid of their old Huawei equipment and replacing them with new ones. Which is kind of the best thing at the moment, really. Because if they actually intend to continue using Huawei equipment, I'm not safe. Like, I wouldn't feel safe with that equipment and with the knowledge that that equipment could be spying on everything that I post on it or everything that I do on it. Maybe have some sort of archiving mechanism or something. Like, I don't know what could be in those equipments, but I'm not waiting around to find out, you know? I'm not going to wait and find out what those equipments are actually capable of. So this is an article from Reuters, and it says, elite U.S. school MIT cuts ties with Chinese tech firms Huawei and ZTE. It says, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, that'd be MIT, has severed ties with Huawei Technologies and ZTE Corp as U.S. authorities investigate the Chinese firm for alleged sanction violations, the school said on Wednesday. MIT is the latest top educational institution to unplug telecom equipment made by Huawei and other Chinese companies to avoid losing federal funding. Okay, so this goes even further than just having their equipments replaced. Like, if they continue to using Huawei, the United States, the government of the United States, will cut their federal funding. And that's when you get into pretty hard territory, because it's either keep your existing infrastructure and avoid having to spend the cost of upgrading said infrastructure, or spend a little bit on infrastructure and avoid losing your federal funding. I'm guessing what you guys think would be the best mode of action here. I would rather upgrade my infrastructure than lose my federal funding. There's no discussion about that. In a communication said by Maria Zuber on their website, On the MIT website, it says, MIT is not accepting new engagements or renewing existing ones with Huawei and ZTE or their respective subsidiaries due to federal investigations regarding violations of sanction restrictions. That was said on their website. Zuber also added that collaborations with China, Russia, and Saudi Arabia would face additional administrative review procedures. The Institute will revisit collaborations with these entities as circumstances dictate. And the other university that I told you that cut the funding from Huawei was Britain's Oxford University, which is a very big name in universities. Like, it's one of the most famous universities, I believe, in the entire world, because there's MIT, there's Harvard, there's Oxford, and yeah, I think those are the main ones. Oh, Yale University is another famous one. But to see universities actually cut the funding towards their, you could say subscription? No, it's not subscription, it's partnership, I would say. Cutting the ties with those partnerships with Huawei is a pretty good move. Like, I would consider that a pretty good move, because with the recent scandals, like, for example, like I said at the start of this, the podcast, Meng Wanzhou, I think it, I butchered that name so badly. Let's just call her Meng. Meng, which is the Huawei's chief financial officer and daughter of the founder Reng Zhongfei, I think I butchered that name again, was arrested in Canada in December at the request of the United States on charges of bank and wire fraud in violations of U.S. sanctions against Iran. And, of course, she denies wrongdoing, because who would accept that they did something wrong? Come on, if you did something wrong, you're going to be like all the way up to your nose saying, oh no, I did it right, I didn't do anything wrong. And I was like, no, we have evidence. And they keep denying it, and of course that's going to happen. But whatever, to each their own. So that's one of the main scandals, and of course the scandal of spying with their equipment, and also the scandal where they actually copied Apple products. For example, a Huawei laptop looks very similar to a MacBook Pro. And that was because, like I've said in previous episodes of this podcast, that they actually gathered the persons that left those companies, took them to their companies as in a admissions call, like a job hiring call. That's what I was looking for. A job hiring call. And they said, oh, instead of actually giving them questions to hire them, they actually gave them questions of what their technologies were. They tried getting their hands on the Apple Watch's technology, on MacBook Pro technology, if I'm not mistaken, and a few other products from Apple and other companies as well, because they didn't just focus on Apple, they focused on other companies as well. But the main ones are Apple. That was the main target, I would assume. So yeah, these guys have not been the best at keeping their secrets and being like, oh, we don't spy. I'll believe you, because your laptop doesn't look just like a MacBook Pro. Anyways, it continues to say, U.S. sanctions for ZTE to stop most businesses between April and July last year after Commerce Department officials said it broke the pact and was caught illegally shipping U.S. origin goods to Iran and North Korea. The sanctions were lifted after ZTE paid $1.4 billion in penalties. Honestly, I would think they deserved a little bit more, because if they were trading, like, goods from the United States, like, goods that came from the United States, if they were trading them with Iran and North Korea, they were trading with our biggest enemies. I would assume that the punishment would be bigger than that, than just $1.4 billion in penalties. I'm just saying. I believe the sanctions should have been stricter with them, and they should have been punished a little bit harsherly. But honestly, that's just me. We'll see how this pans out. Honestly, I would encourage that the restrict a little bit more on them, because I wouldn't want my data to be publicly to everybody, especially to the Chinese government, noticing how bad they've been throughout these last times. Like, honestly, continue to be harsher on them and actually enforcing those rights to not spy on people, you know? Like, don't use equipment that spies on people. That's just it, okay? And don't implement methods of spying in equipments that can have very sensitive very sensitive information. That's just it. You know, there's no two ways about it. You want to protect your data, make sure you buy quality equipments that do not have the capabilities of spying on you, or that you may be suspect that they might be spying on you. That's just it. That's all you got to do. Anyways, we'll be right back with some more of the Cutting Edge Tech. Thank you so much for being here with me. Don't go anywhere. There's a lot more to come. And we are back here at the Cutting Edge Tech. Thank you for joining me. So, a spyware app. For those of you who may be unfamiliar with the term, a spyware app is an application or a method that can be implemented to spy on you. The name says it all, spyware. It can be used to actually identify passwords, key sensitive data, etc., etc. And there was a spyware app roaming around in Android phones. And now, apparently, it can target iPhones as well. So, this app is actually developed by an Italian surveillance app maker called Connexa. That's Connexa. And this application, dubbed Exodus, it ensnares hundreds of victims. This is the Android version of the app. It ensnares hundreds of victims either by installing it or having it installed. Exodus had a larger feature set and expanded spying capabilities by downloading an additional exploit designed to gain root access to the device, giving the app near complete access to a device's data, including email, cellular data, Wi-Fi passwords, and more, according to Security Without Borders. So, this application basically installs itself, or it can be installed on your own, and it will basically allow whoever controls the servers of the offset apps, in which case Connexa, operating systems like iOS and Android. So these are not your average players. These are pros doing what they know how to do best. And they were actually hired by an Italian company which manages to make surveillance apps. You know, like, who can you trust anymore, really? Like, this is a situation where you can't trust anybody. And this just proves it to you. Like, you can't trust anything that you see, anything that you hear. You have to always be on your toes. And unfortunately, that's not a way I like to live, but it's something that we're probably going to have to be facing in the future, because right now, at this point in time, not even surveillance app companies can be trusted. It continues to say, although the Android version was downloadable directly from Google's App Store, the iOS version was not widely distributed. Instead, Connexa signed the app with an enterprise certificate issued to the developer by Apple, allowing the surveillance app maker to bypass Apple's strict App Store checks. So that's where the certificate pinning came from. They gathered a certificate that helped them bypass all the security measures that Apple has put in place into their app stores. And that's one of the things I have to give credit to Apple that they're doing right, because they actually get into the nitty-gritty of the application, which in turn enforces of safe applications. Right now, at this point in time, I could upload it without any safety measures, without anything, and basically just go on my merry way and just wait for the results to pop in. But Apple does. does not do that, which is a credit that I have to give them. You know, credit where credit is due, they have a stricter enforcement of their application and the way that they accept new applications into the Apple App Store. It says here that it follows a similar pattern to several app makers, as discovered by TechCrunch earlier this year, which abuses their enterprise certificates to develop mobile apps that evaded the scrutiny of Apple's App Store. Every app served through an App Store has to be certified by Apple, or they won't run. But several companies like Facebook and Google use their enterprise-only certificates to sign apps given to consumers. Apple said this violated the rules and banned the apps by revoking enterprise certificates used by Facebook and Google. Now keep both of these with their illicit apps online. Also, every other internal app signed with the same certificate. So, basically, Apple enforces with their certificates that they have process, because this is going to be lengthy if they do this. It'll be a lengthy process, but it'll actually ensure proper managing and stricter rules on how to operate into the App Store. It will be lengthy, like I said, sure, but it will cause no problems in the end, because it's a pretty good system, I would say. It's a pretty good idea, because if you say that you're an enterprise, and just Apple just goes like, okay, sure, you're an enterprise, go ahead. You're basically ignoring the rules that you yourself put in place. So in that case, what you do is like, okay, you're an enterprise, give me evidence. What is your evidence that tells me that you're an enterprise? And once you get that evidence, you make a research. The research, and you say, okay, they're actually a company, they have actually applied for the company name and everything, and everything's done properly by law. Like, if you do that, sure, it'll be lengthy, but you'll make it a good way to actually release your applications. that enter into the App Store. So I think the Google could learn a few things from this. Authenticate an application to be used the proper way. That's all I want, really. Just provide me a method that can authenticate those applications so that they can be able to use your rules and your restrictions. So that's really good for Apple. I'm surprised. Kudos to you, Apple. I applaud you. You did really good. Anyways, we'll be right back with some more here at the Cutting Edge Tech. Don't go anywhere, guys. We'll be right back. And we are back here at the Cutting Edge Tech. Thank you for joining me. Now, for our last piece of news for this episode, I gotta say, Tesla, good job. Good job on your Sentry mode. Like, they actually managed to catch a thief. Like, a suspected thief. And I'm impressed, because lately, Tesla has run an upgrade on their cars called Sentry mode, which is basically like a protection for your car. And it says here, this is coming from electric.co, Tesla's new Sentry mode has helped in the arrest of a suspected thief in San Francisco just a few weeks after being released to the wider fleet. So basically, they released it, and a few weeks later, they caught somebody. Like, this is just insane, because this is how far we've come, guys. Like, cars now are basically cops. you could say that cars are now basically cops. Okay, so it says here, this is just amazing. It says here that Electric, the website, reported an uptick in break-ins involving Tesla vehicles over the last year, and the automaker reacted by releasing its own dash cam feature using the autopilot cameras around its vehicles. So basically, so the autopilot that I was talking about, which is basically the feature that with sensors and cameras, it helps you keep in lane. Well, they're using those cameras to actually help with the Sentry mode, which is an ingenious idea. Building on the dash cam feature, Tesla enabled the use of more cameras around the vehicles and activated a standby parking mode. The feature became Sentry mode, which also includes an alarm and notification system to deter thieves even more. Tesla started pushing the feature to its fleet through an over-the-air software update last month, and it's already proving quite useful. Like I just said, it caught somebody. This is amazing, because in one point in the last episode, I told you guys that people actually started, like some hackers, quote-unquote hackers, with stickers on the road. They managed to trick the AI of the autopilot to actually veer off into the wrong lane. Well, in this case, Tesla actually made it so that the Sentry mode could actually catch people and help police with an investigation on the suspected thieves, to a suspected thief in San Francisco, with the rise in the Tesla robberies and Tesla burglaries in this moment. I'm impressed. Like, Tesla, good job. Like, see, this is why I advocate. This is why sometimes I advocate for Tesla, because even though they're not perfect, but they put technology out there in their cars that is actually really useful. For example, the autopilot is something that people have been working towards for a future without people driving cars, and they managed to create it, and they're perfecting it. And even though it managed to garner that small hiccup from last week, right now it's Sentry mode. Has proven very useful in investigating police events, like investigating like sceneries for robberies and stuff like that. And this is actually a very good step in the right direction in terms of safety for cars. Like, people could actually learn from this to put like a mode where their cars actually become like undercover cops, because you never expect that a car could actually help you in catching a fugitive, you know? And it's something that is very useful in this case, and I'm very excited to hear about this. And I'm always going to be pushing for Tesla to continue innovating and actually get those creative juices flowing and get the best out of the vehicles. Like do the most out of your vehicles with the technology that is implemented on them. It's amazing. Like, you guys, solid stuff. Like, solid stuff from Tesla. That's just a little bit of a more in the terms of happy and kind of funny news, because it's even though the burglary is a bad thing, but the fact that they managed to catch it on the cameras provided by the vehicle itself, it's proving to be a very useful technology, and car manufacturers should really be looking into this, because this is something that could be monumental in the future of car safety. It could help with carjacking incidents and etc. etc. This is good. Like, this is very, very good. So guys, good job. And companies, car companies, look at this technology. Look into it. Develop your safety, and not just an alarm, because an alarm can be bypassed. But if you have a security surveillance features like cameras in your car, use them, right? Use them in this term of actually securing your car and the property of your clients. That's actually a really good idea. So go do that, guys. Take note from this and go do it. Anyways, that's basically it for this episode. It's a little bit on the short side this episode. I wanted it to be short, sweet, and to the point. And I gotta say thank you guys again. I just gotta thank you guys for actually helping me with this. The people that take a time to listen and take the time to actually tell me what you think about the podcast and what you think it's good and what you think should change and everything. I'm listening to that, guys, like, for real. Thank you so much for all the constructive criticism and everything that you've told me. I'm really listening to that, and I really appreciate the time you take to give me that feedback. It really means the world to me. It really means a lot. So thank you, guys. Keep it coming. I'm really happy that you guys are enjoying this, and I'm really happy to actually provide you with some information on the tech world, on what's going on, and et cetera, et cetera. So thank you guys for giving me the chance, and I hope to continue like informing you and entertaining you. It really means a lot to me, so thank you guys. So anyways, that's all for this episode. Thank you so much for joining me today, and episode 10. Let's make it to 20, 30, 40, 50, and so on and so forth, guys. I'm really looking for this in the long run, and I'm really hoping to continue to deliver with all this. And in case that something happens, I will let you know, and we'll make sure that we get everything back under control if anything were to happen. But thank you so much for joining me here today. Remember to like my page on Facebook at Cutting Edge Tech Podcast. I will be posting all the episodes that come out of the podcast. I will be posting them over there. And I have been noticing that some of the episodes take a little while to actually, you know, pop up into the Anchor website and the Spotify and everything. But don't worry, give it some time. Give it a little while until it actually refreshes the page. And once it's out, make sure to listen. Make sure to share with your friends and family. Thank you so much for everything, really. It really means the world to me, guys. I couldn't be more happier with this is going. And I'm hoping to keep entertaining you guys and keep it for the long run. So thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for being here. And remember, keep it techie, my friends. I'll see you guys next Wednesday. Cutting Edge Tech is a technology news podcast focused on the latest news that occurred during the week between episodes. The opinions expressed in this podcast are strictly from the host and should not be taken as absolute facts. If you'd like to suggest a news article to be discussed in the podcast, send it to me at cutting.edgetechpodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear them. Thank you, and see you in the next episode. And remember, keep it techie, my friends.